Victor Anson had never seen it, thank God. There was only one God in heaven, Anson always said, and one head of Anson Aerospace. Yet Anson had never come out to the desert to see the test rig, never even made his way down to the working section of his own company's laboratory in Pasadena. He stayed in his office. People came to him. Harry patted Taki's slim shoulder and moved forward, past the battle management compartment, and into the nose of the mammoth airplane. Here was the beam control station, Monk Delaney's domain, the business end of the coil, where megawatts of infrared energy fed through the ball-shaped turret in the plane's nose and lanced out toward the target. The controls for the ranging laser were there, too. Perched in a housing atop the flight deck's hump, the Ranger was a small carbon dioxide laser that was used like a radar to fix the location of the target and feed that data to the big coil for the kill. Slaved to the sensors that spotted the missile's hot rocket plume, the smaller laser pinpointed the missile's position and distance. The turret in the plane's nose moved in response to the data from the ranging laser, and then, zap, the coil fired and the missile was destroyed. Harry noticed that the ranging laser's console was not powered up. Idly, he sat at the console and flicked it on. The central screen glowed to life, and the words, "System malfunction," burned themselves onto it. What the hell, Harry thought. System malfunction? What are you doing, Harry? He looked up and saw Monk Delaney looming over him. Something's wrong with the Ranger. Delaney leaned over his shoulder and pecked at the console's keyboard. System malfunction glowered at them. Shit, said Delaney. You've been screwing around with my program. No, I just turned the console on, Harry said. Mumbling unhappily, Delaney nudged Harry out of the seat and took over the console himself. After several moments, he shrugged in frustration. Something's wrong, he said. No kidding. Harry knew that without the ranging laser to feed targeting information to the coil, the whole system was useless. Let me fiddle with it, Monk said, still looking at Harry as if it was his fault. I'll go check the rig, Harry said. You can't check it while we're in the air, Monk growled. Harry patted his muscular shoulder. You can't, ape man. You're too big to squeeze in there. But I'm small enough to do it. You'll break your stupid ass. Harry heaved a sigh and said, It's got to be done, Monk. Otherwise we'll have to turn around and go home. Monk said nothing, but the look on his face told Harry that he wouldn't mind returning to Elmendorf. Not at all. Able One, Flight Deck. Harry left Monk sweating and swearing at the ranging laser console and clambered up the ladder to the flight deck. The two Air Force officers looked startled to see him. I need to check the laser assembly, Harry said, pointing overhead. The red-headed captain said, Colonel Christopher ought to know about this, sir. Nodding, Harry said, Let her know, then. The captain spoke into his pin mic, and an instant later Colonel Christopher popped through the hatch from the cockpit. What's wrong, Mr. Hartunian? She looked nettled. I've got to check the ranging laser. In flight? I thought that unit was sealed off while the plane's pressurized. The laser housing is pressurized, too, Harry explained. This won't endanger the plane. She looked unconvinced. Is this really necessary, or are you just... She let her voice trail off, but Harry got the implication loud and clear. Are you nerds just playing around with your techie toys? It's completely necessary, he replied. Without the ranging laser, we can't lock onto a target. Planting her fists on her hips, Colonel Christopher asked tightly,